We are joined by Greenwich Planning and Zoning Director Pat LaRoe with a meeting recap. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
So I was saying, you know, I was being pithy, but this was quite an agenda last night. And I'd like you to just, I guess, first off, we talked a little bit about overdevelopment earlier today. As always, P&Z is very on top of this issue. And the first item I saw here was potentially saving a piece of property on East Putnam Avenue and considering it historic.
Yep. Yeah, so that was the first item. It was the Historic District Commission is our designated Historic Properties Commission under state statutes. And they've been proactive over the last few years in identifying properties that are not designated locally historic or that are potentials for that, and bringing that forth. So this one is the Putnam Cottage on East Putnam Ave, across from Christ Church. It is on the local historic registry, which is largely a signatory or just a nomination process with the National Park Service. So there's not a lot of force of law with it. The local properties law is the strongest we have in Connecticut for protecting private homes that are deemed to be historic. So the process is a little different than other things. The commission, the Historic Properties Commission, nominates it. It has to go through a few boards, one of them being our board for comment, and then there is a whole process after that that goes through the RTM, and then eventually it's adopted and put into the charter. So these properties that are nominated and approved are listed, and they are in our local ordinances after that.
I want to get to all the items on this agenda, but I do just want to ask you, do you feel that obligation, as we've been talking about all morning, about kind of finding that middle ground between development and overdevelopment?
Well, I mean, overdevelopment is a little bit of a subjective term. I mean, we have a zoning schema in town. You know, the commission and the public, actually, we approve a 10-year plan every year, and that sets the table for the things that we perhaps want to change with our regulations, but also what the expectation is for development going forward. So we have a zoning law, and there are rules underneath it, and the rights are the same on both sides of the line. So we have to walk the tightrope between private property rights and the public good, and this commission and others before us have done a fairly, you know, I would say very good job of just making sure that development is done responsibly. Change is hard for a lot of people and everybody, and myself included. So I'm not saying it's abrupt sometimes, but those rights are in the regulation. So it's not typically it's not a surprise. Absence of some of these other things that we're going to talk about at tonight's meeting, last night's meeting, I should say, like 830G and some of the state statutes. So I think Greenwich does a better job than most in approving and reviewing development.
No question. And it's such an emotional issue. Hey, listen, I'm glad you, better you than me, I'm glad you're handling this. Other items on the agenda last night, Brunswick School final site plan.
Yep. So that tent installations over 2 weeks are considered temporary structures, and that has to go to the commission to be evaluated. So the Marav campus is going under a renovation. They need some covered space for the students to eat lunch, essentially, during the spring while the building is being renovated. So this is a several-week-long tent that's going to go up on the property, and the students there will be, you know, having lunch. And, you know, hopefully the weather will be cooperative, but at least they'll be covered. So that's just a one-off from the typical that we see.
Other items that you want to tell us about?
Yes. Yeah, so we had Newfield Properties, and this is a assisted housing under the state statute 830G. This is the second time as before the commission. It is a 31-unit development where 20% of the units are being offered at below market at 80% of area median income. There are engineering issues with the site that we are still looking to be addressed to some satisfactory level. The applicant has been working towards that. It's just there's always last few edits and fixes. The other thing the commission was concerned about last night was the appearance of the mix. All the units that are below market in this development are the single bedrooms, and the predominant unit type is two bedrooms. So the commission was just getting a little bit into the finances, which is not their purview, but understanding why projects like this can't offer an equal mix or more two bedrooms in certain instances, and others they can. Not sure if they got an answer that they fully appreciate, but the, you know, the applicant has made their point that not having having below market two bedrooms in this will effectively make the project not viable, and they'd have to add more density. So that's one of the other struggles is, you know, do you get what you can get to satisfy the state mandate, or do you try to get something that you think is better for other reasons, and how do you work with the applicant to get those things done? So that was left open for the open items, and we'll be back probably at the end of April. April 30 probably is our meeting at that time. Country Day School has two projects. One's a lot merger. One is a proposal to redevelop the St. Agnes property next door to build a track for their high school, which is also next door on Sandwich Road. This is the first time the commission heard the application. Just concerns about what can be seen from where and how the traffic is going to be managed, because as we're all aware in town, Country Day has two campuses. This is the upper school and the main campus on Old Church. And when they bought the property from Sandwich School, there was always a concern that there was going to be a lot of shuffling or inter-parcel movement. The applicant is trying to help us understand how this is going to reduce some of that inter-town flow and hopefully reduce traffic, but also be a nice amenity for the students at the school and essentially the town, since most of the students there are townies. St. Catherine's Church is looking to do a rezoning of their properties across the street from their church on Riverside Ave. These are in a residential zone. They've expressed just frustration that it takes a lot of time to get tenants into the buildings that they own on that side of the street, and they feel that a commercial zone designation will help them market those properties and use them a little more effectively. This is the first time the commission saw it. A lot of concerns about just changing the zoning in that part of town. Applicant has heard that and will be coming back with possibly some alternatives at a later date. Next, we have Field Point LLC, 32 Field Point. Those are some of the Grand Victorians on Field Point Road as you get to Route 1. This applicant here is looking to add onto the site and create some housing behind one of the buildings, the 32 building to be specific. The way to do that to get the incentives would be to protect the historic structure, and then there would be some opportunities for additional floor area. This is the first time the commission has seen this final site plan. Just concerns about the layout and how it is meeting the historic overlay, the significance of the building, if the additions are supportive and subsidiary to the main structure that is quote-unquote historic. Number 9 was postponed at the last minute. And then the commission lastly voted on the a zoning text amendment for lighting regulations. This has been years in the making. We've had numerous public outreach meetings trying to really catch up with with the technology of the time. We all use LEDs now. We know them as the lighting source in vogue. But when this all started, we had, you know, incandescent lights and not the same technologies. And there's just been a garish sort of result from poor lighting choices on exterior lighting, particularly. This is what this is controlling. So we had a consultant. We've had several meetings with interested parties, both people who are, I will say, dark sky or environmental proponents, as well as landscapers and architects who do lighting designs professionally. And we've tried to strike a balance where we can say that the products that are going to be used in the town going forward are ones that will hopefully minimize at the start the glare issues and the light trespass issues and a lot of the the spinoff problems that we see from lighting choices that are not appropriate for the use. And that was the voting part of the meeting. The commission did adopt the regulation. Those will be in effect starting in 15 days will be the effective date. So that is the start date for that. And then we had two discussion items that are of note. One is 200 Pembrowick Road. This project has been slated for redevelopment several times over the past couple of years. This is another iteration of that where the applicant is looking to add residential units to this commercial property. The pre-app is a non-binding discussion. They wanted to come in and show their initial design and get feedback about next steps and where maybe they need to focus on some efforts versus just going forward with a site plan application. A lot of concern about the proximity to the river, the parking, the height of the building not meeting the regulatory obligations. So the applicant is going to take that back and try to come up with a plan that would meet all local zoning and not need any variances or alternative approval processes. And lastly, the Old Greenwich neighbors in Old Greenwich have been proposing a village district, which is an overlay zone allowed in the state to protect unique areas or the character of unique areas. It's similar to a historic district, but not necessarily nominating structures of a certain vintage, but just a particular style and place. There's about 20 of these in the state. Several of them are in Norwalk, a couple are in New Canaan, if people are wondering where they are. And it just adds an additional layer of review for projects in a particular area to make sure that the changes of the buildings are consistent with the established aesthetic. This is the first time the neighbors have brought their draft to us. The commission, they asked the commission for some input, and they are going to possibly talk with myself and or amongst themselves about whether they want to propose it as a resident or if they think they would like to pass it off to the commission and have them take it as an adopted amendment to the regulations. And that was the end of our meeting.
You know, I wasn't kidding when I held up this agenda, and boy, you hit all the points, and we really appreciate it. It's such important work that you're doing, and I have to tell you, you can't appreciate lighting until you see bad lighting. So, by the way, thank you on that.
It's very true.
I forget, my wife and I were sitting in a parking lot outside of a supermarket recently, and we looked up and we're like, this lighting is not right.
Yeah, and that is the sentiment heard over and over again over the last couple of years. So we've taken steps, hopefully, to address that going forward.
You guys still do the virtual meetings. We appreciate that. And Pat LaRoe, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Nope. Next meeting is the 2nd, and then we have a back-to-back week on the 9th because we have to schedule around the school holiday. So we will be meeting April 2nd, April 9th, and then April 30th for the next few meetings.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. That's Greenwich Planning and Zoning Commissioner Pat.